This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. I am Meera Sivasodhi. It's our health and living segment. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, in the studio for his monthly show. How are you today, Dr. Harjit?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm raring to go.
Really? Very interesting topic today. We're going to be discussing Pilates and pregnancy. Why they ask the orthopedic surgeon to come in, I have no idea. But anyway, we're going to have that discussion anyway.
Yeah,
okay. A pregnant woman is often treated with great care and protection. Now, she's often told she cannot do this and she cannot do that. But what can she actually do when it comes to her health and fitness? Well, joining us in the studio also is Doresa Sim. She's a Pilates instructor and certified in pre- and postnatal Pilates. How are you today, Doresa?
I'm good. How are you, Meera?
We're good. I mean, just tell us a little bit more about the work that you've done. I mean, how long have you been a Pilates instructor and, you know, how has that journey been for you?
The journey has been amazing. I've been in industry for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. I have teach many pregnant mothers. And
why did you want to, you know, specialize in pregnant women?
I guess there's not many. The Asian market is not really
developed.
Not ready. Ready for like exercising during pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I guess Pilates is a good way to start. It's gentle. It's
good for the mother.
Yeah, good for the mother.
Okay, but if you haven't been practicing Pilates before, is it all right to actually start when you're pregnant?
Yes,
it's all right.
You can. It's all right. We with doctor's clearance that they don't have any medical issue. Yeah. Pilates is very low impact.
Okay.
It's done in a very safe environment. So yeah,
it's all right.
I would say yes.
Dr. Harjit, Pilates, what's your opinion?
Well, I think if you ask me, I think it is a good way to start exercising for flexibility and strength in a very,
whether you're pregnant or not.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Now, the way we were discussing it just now, I made a mention that we always have to try and catch a target group at a particular point. And if you look at exercise, the moment you get pregnant, it might just be the spark that you need to start exercising. And as she's pointed out, if you get cleared by your doctor and your obstetrician, you don't have any risky situations that need to be looked into and, you know, for us to be mindful about, then I think that Pilates is an excellent way. Yoga, Pilates, as long as you get someone who is going to be mindful of the changes that you have in pregnancy, then you definitely are on to something good.
Okay. See, it's funny you said yoga and Pilates. They always say yoga and Pilates in the same sentence, isn't it? How different is yoga from Pilates, Doresa?
Yoga existed like few thousand years ago. It's like it's an ancient way of workout. Pilates only exists like 100 years by this man, Joseph Pilates. Mm-hmm. He's born in Germany and he became popular after he migrated to New York after the war and married his wife, a nurse. And everything started in New York and become popular ever since then.
Mm-hmm. But how would you differentiate the two types of exercise?
Okay, Pilates, we have a machine. Yeah, we have equipment. Yeah, and yoga is more done on the floor, right, on the mat.
Yeah. Yeah. But how does the equipment help you?
It can be assistive. It can be resistive. Like for this instance, pregnant mothers, pre- and postnatal mothers, we're working more towards assistive, help them into movement, help them to stretch, help them to strengthen, and bounce back from birthing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Quickly.
I mean, but is it? Do you lose weight?
You can.
I like that.
Because I know in yoga they say, you know, yoga is not really about losing weight. It's about strengthening your core and all of that.
Yeah.
So Pilates.
Correct. Yeah. It's working towards there as well. So working more on inside out instead of more concern about your appearance on outside.
That's easy to say. But that's all we want to do after giving birth is to lose weight.
Isn't it? Every woman wants to bounce back into shape very quickly.
That's because of the celebrities who almost bounce back like the next day.
Yeah, talking about that, celebrities, it's like their rice bowl. They are paid to look bounce back immediately. Maybe they are endorsement for some slimming center, for some bikini advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to bounce back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For normal women, working women, I think they should take their time.
Why?
And because it's very challenging, it's very demanding to give birth to a life, right? The trauma going through it. Just for example, if you have a surgery, yeah, you have your kidney removed or you have a bone surgery, people look after that. People don't expect to bounce back immediately into shape.
Mm-hmm.
But why does birthing
have to be any
yes,
different?
Yes, yeah, correct.
But, okay, now medically, I mean, I have to add medically.
Please,
I can't.
Yes,
please okay. do.
No, now the thing is, the way I look at it is that the mere fact that you've got a mindset that you want to get healthy, you can start slow with Pilates, yoga, and you work on from that. The weight loss comes later. If you don't do anything, nothing's going to happen anyway. So this is a start. You gain confidence. Exercise works on your mind also. It doesn't work only on your body. Whether you start inside out, outside in, whatever, the mere fact that you've made the decision to go towards that, get moving, get exercising, you will then eat better and then you
sleep
move
better,
on and you get better.
Yeah, and then you can move on to other things.
Exactly,
things.
Yeah, more high-impact exercise, for example. Yeah.
What's happening to the musculoskeletal system when somebody is pregnant, Dr. Harji?
Okay, if you ask, I mean, just to put it simply, a lot is happening. There are hormonal changes. Okay, occurring right from early pregnancy to the late. There are structural changes brought about by the increase in weight and shifting of the center of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you have loss of the lordosis, the curve mm-hmm. of the spine. It gets exaggerated. Yeah. And all this coupled with the fact that you tend to lose mobility unless you work on it is going to cause medical problems potentially.
You say lose mobility, what do you mean?
No, the thing is, a lot of, if you look at our culture, the moment you're pregnant, everybody tells you to slow down. When the current thinking is that you need to keep active. Because even not being pregnant, okay, we know that exercise has so many health benefits. It keeps your sugar well controlled. And during pregnancy, we have a subgroup of patients who the tendency is to develop diabetes. And we know by exercising, we keep all this under wraps and, you know, we can cap it to a certain extent. But we have cultural norms, which are changing, mind you, that we need to slow down during a pregnancy. Of course, a pregnancy being physiological is also a challenge. But if we educate and we have the mindset of saying that, you know, you can exercise safely, you don't need to stop, you can continue doing it. And then we actually help them through something very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the flip side of it is you have very active people, ladies who get pregnant. Now, they have a tendency of overdoing it. So you have to also have the brakes on. So if you get someone who understands the two spectrums, then you get benefit all the way.
Okay, so the curvature of the spine, all of that happens very naturally. It's just part of, you know, the physiology of what's happening when you do get pregnant. Now, how do you take that into consideration, Teresa, when you are teaching Pilates, knowing that, you know, all of these changes are going to be happening? How do you take that into consideration?
Pregnant mothers, yes, still pregnant, we do not manipulate so much with the changes. It's more like teaching them to be mindful and accept the body start to change, yeah? And we try to stretch them, strengthen the pelvic floor muscle, yeah.
Let's talk about the pelvic floor muscle. Mm-hmm. What's the role of the pelvic floor muscle? We always talk about this. We always talk about Kegels and none of us get the exercise correct because we're working the wrong part. How does Pilates help?
Yeah.
Are you uncomfortable, Dr. Harji?
Yeah.
You can leave now if you want.
No, men have pelvic floor too.
Oh, really?
No, don't worry. I'm totally in touch with my feminine side.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to be. We are modern men. Yeah.
Men should work on their pelvic floor muscle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
I'm going to ask her whether the guys go along with their pregnant.
Yes.
So
pregnant partner.
Yes. Back to pelvic floor. Yeah. The pelvic floor is like a hammock that supports all internal organs and the whole core. for the matter, the whole center, everything, it holds up everything. For pregnant mother, they take double the load because the baby is developing, it's getting bigger, and the pelvic floor muscle needs to be strong and flexible. Yeah, as they're carrying through this whole pregnancy, and then after delivery, they need it to be strong and flexible to bounce back into shape, like Doctor just mentioned, the curvature of the spine changed, the pelvis changed, everything just shifted. Yeah, if your pelvic floor muscle is not strong and flexible, it's very hard to bounce back into place. Then they will start to have a lot of imbalance on the spine, then they will have backache, they have pain on the shoulder and stuff like that. Everything will just come in.
Okay. Surely our grandmothers didn't know this, Dr. Harry.
No, but the thing
and
is...
And they weren't working their pelvic floor muscles.
Then they will have urine incontinence and stuff.
Yeah, but you look at it this way. They never had, this... Okay, a pregnancy was just part of their life. A part which they needed to go through, and they were up and about. They were never sedentary. They still had to do lots of stuff. So the way I look at it is that that was the actual physiological pregnancy. That means everything was still worked. They still had to do their duties and things were fine.
Yeah.
Now, our lifestyle is that even our footwear is unnatural for ambulation. And when you're pregnant, you still continue wearing heels at the initial part. You have changes in your body and the body can't compensate for this. And you have not exercised, so you start at a very low base, and pregnancy just is not so fun in these kind of situations.
Okay. Yeah.
So the way I look at it is that the core muscle, the pelvic floor, she even mentioned about shoulder pain, which seems to be very far away, but everything actually, the whole body works as a well-honed machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a problem at one area, the body has to compensate by loading other parts, changing the way you move so that it can just function. And over time, over this 9-month period, things take on toll.
So over the 10 over years that you've practiced as a Pilates instructor, have you seen more people coming in during pregnancy?
Yes, more. Okay. Because like Doctor just mentioned, the time has changed. Our grandparents, they still do the laundry, hand wash, still feed the chicken, maybe stuff like that. They're moving about all the time. For 21st century, the problem is sedentary. People sit most of the time. You sit at work, you sit when you're driving car, you sit while you're breastfeeding, you sit having dinner. It's a lot of sitting. In a POSA conference that I recently attend, sitting is the new smoking. It's as bad as smoking.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Sitting too much has given us so much problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. So when they first come in, how do you assess? What do you find out? And are most of them coming in for the first time during pregnancy, or have they already been active before?
I will ask. Is it your first time doing Pilates? Then if they say it's the first time and they're pregnant, then I will ask, is it your first trimester, second trimester? And have you had a baby before? If new mothers, I will tell them you should start second trimester, or you're with the doctor's clearance. Otherwise, for new mothers, they don't know how is it like being pregnant.
Yep.
They won't know how to tell me whether it's uncomfortable, whether this is not good for them. For seasoned mother, they can tell you straight away, I don't like to do this. I don't think I'm comfortable. Then we will change. We do something else.
Okay. Yeah. We have Aina on the line. Aina, you have a question. Go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How soon can a mother who just had a cesarean section start Pilates?
Good afternoon, Aina.
Okay, thank you very much.
For C-section, if the doctors give clearance, if you're fine with it, you're properly healed, I should say 3 months to 6 months, you're ready to start.
Okay, but get the doctor's clearance.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Do you deal directly with doctors at all?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a danger in there, Dr. Harry?
No.
Doctors and the fitness people never talk to each other. I always have a problem with that.
We trust our client.
I trust the client. I think part of the onus is also on the pregnant lady or the postnatal lady to clear things with the doctor. I think communication is essential. I was speaking to my obstetrician and gynae before coming over? And he says, yes. I mean, I said, my thoughts are that there's no restriction to the time that you can start. And he said, yes. If you look at literature, the literature says that exercising in pregnancy is good. You can start from the word go. It's very good if you are already exercising before that. And choose exercises that don't put a high demand on the body. I mean, no contact sports or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to do things which work on your core, keep you nimble and flexible and work on strength, then it's fine. You can start anytime.
Yeah. Having said that, yeah, if the mother comes in like 3 weeks postnatal and they want to exercise, I would take them in if they're really confident and they want to exercise. I think Pilates is still safer for them to start. Then they go running, go doing something very high impact.
But surely not after a C-section. 3 weeks?
Depending. It's better for them because they need to. They have to, maybe, you know, they want to. If you deprive them, then they will go do something else, which is more dangerous. Okay.
But I think what happens is that the medical doctor is going to clear them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these are things that come into the conversation, according to my gynecologist, far from my area. But then I deal with sporty people who are in a rush to get back. So normally I then tell them to communicate with their treating doctor. Because childbirth, I mean, it can be very natural, very smooth, or it can be a bit rocky. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what happens. And there are changes that you need to be very mindful of before you advise someone. It's not a la carte. You got this, this is the duration, and you go back. It differs from patient to patient.
You know, now that, you know, a lot of us are having injuries anyway, some sort of musculoskeletal injury, even before we get pregnant, Dr. Ajit, what are some of the common ones? And how do we get through that during pregnancy? And, you know, how do you look after it during pregnancy? And then coming out of it, how do we deal with that? So we're going to come back and discuss that up next. If you have a question on Pilates in pregnancy, give us a call. The number is 0377 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, in the studio for his monthly show, joined by Duresa Sim, a Pilates instructor and certified. She's certified in pre- and postnatal Pilates. We're discussing Pilates and pregnancy. If you have a question, once again, do give us a call. The number is 0377 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Dr. Harjit, a lot of us, Duresa just mentioned, sitting is the new smoking. And we're all sitting from the time we come out to work now, which means what are some of the common issues that we face with the musculoskeletal system as a result of sitting for such a long time, and how does that affect during pregnancy?
Now, okay, if we look at the most common problems of back pain, okay, mechanical back pain, not the back pain caused by a malignancy, a cancer, an infection or something more. We know that our muscular core, which is the envelope which supports the spine, is key in keeping us well. We know that we generally start off at a low base because of our sedentary lifestyle. Then you pop in pregnancy, which will change the hormonal structure of the body, getting the ligaments a little looser, increasing the body weight and shifting the way the body moves and the center of gravity. So this is a recipe of worsening your back pain or causing back pain as you go through your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But the best part is we know that this is a physiological change and it happens through these certain way. And we can reverse that if we educate the pregnant mother from the word go. And we guide her through that, through exercises. And they generally are able to tolerate that back pain, or we can control it to a certain extent till the end of pregnancy. And at that point, okay, all the physiological changes reverse over a period of 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we get them back to a base and we build that up in a preventive manner. So I think this is the way we need to look at it. Now, of course, other than the lower back, a a lot of patients come to us orthopedists with, you know, carpal tunnel because of the changes, the fluid shifts. And those picked up early, simple exercises like gliding the nerve and all help them. It doesn't make it go away completely most of the time, but it makes it tolerable, and they go through pregnancy. Once everything is sorted out, everything reverses and they are fine. And postnatal mothers, even the way that they handle the baby, or they, you know, the diapers, and they wring the clothes if they keep on washing them using their hands and all that, causes problems at the wrist. Now, what's the key there? The key is educating them that this happens because of this, you avoid it and it's going to get fine. So not everything requires a medical fix. Often identifying the problem, making sure that this problem is not caused by something more sinister, and then you are sorted out.
Okay, so lower back issues seem to be coming through all the time. How do you help them through that?
Yeah, we teach them how to manage the lower part, like gentle exercise through breathing, moving the pelvis. We teach them more anatomically, like hip bone, sit bone, pubic bone, sitting bone, you know, where they are, and then how to tilt them, how to move them. At the same time, we do deep breathing. And also, pregnant mothers have problem with the diaphragm and ribs, and most of them comes in with flare ribs. Yeah, because to make way for the baby, and their diaphragm is also a muscle. We don't only talk about pelvic floor. Diaphragm and pelvic floor works in harmony. Yeah, they work together. So we have to rehabilitate diaphragm as well. If not, they will have upper back pain, thoracic back pain, shoulder. Some mothers come in with tennis elbow as well. It's like, what? Tennis elbow? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of breastfeeding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
I actually have a question. How do you... Okay, lower back, basic core, I think we can sort of like tell them how to do it. Mm-hmm. How do you tell someone to tighten your pelvic floor? How do you describe it to them? I mean...
Kegels, it's called Kegels.
Yeah, it is. There's, but, you know, I asked my therapist and they were saying that, come on. I'm like, okay, where do you go with that? I can't see.
I still don't know if I'm working the right muscle.
Yeah, because
we go into more technical part in Pilates.
Yeah,
we will ask them to feel your sitting bone, your tailbone, your pubic bone. That area there like forms a hammock. Right.
Okay.
So now, when you tilt towards one direction, like towards your heel, it relaxes. Then when you tilt towards your navel, it tightens. There's a lot of way other than Kegel to work your pelvic floor. Yeah. We also teach them how to do deep breathing by like drawing your navel towards your spine. Like exhale deeply, you work your diaphragm, and then the pelvic floor sort of lift up. Yeah. Or maybe you can imagine. There's a straw that, you know, you're drinking from a straw. Drinking smoothie is really, you know,
sucking it in.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
But that's still no guarantee you're working the pelvic floor.
No, that's the thing. So my therapist told me, maybe I can add,
don't
know.
Yes, please. Okay, so yeah, man point of view.
Yes. And you have a pelvic
like
floor.
That.
Yes, he
no,
has.
But
you do?
We have a pelvic floor
too. Yeah, but not
too.
For yes, that reason.
Yeah, okay. Better not be for that reason. But the thing is, the way they describe it to me is that when you are working it, if it's obvious to someone that you're working it, that means you're working the wrong muscle. I was like,
they work too hard.
Yeah, so
probably,
you're working too hard. So there is a technique you need to identify. And then I think what you say is correct. You need to look at, picture the tailbone, picture the front, and then bring it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a jellyfish. Yeah. Like a jellyfish. Fish movement, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to give them a lot of imageries.
Yeah.
Certain mother works well with jellyfish. Certain mother don't work well with jellyfish. Some prefer straw. Some prefer ball. You know, things like that.
Right.
So yeah, so can it's kind any, of intimate.
Can you use any equipment to assist you to do this correctly?
They have to practice, because for mothers, especially, like just equipment once a week, twice a week. Yeah, they have other equipment like pelvic floor therapy. These days, they have somebody that actually goes in and manipulate them.
Really?
Yeah,
how?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that painful?
Yeah.
I'm quiet.
So, but yeah, for you have to practice, you know, because there is like really like traumatized through birthing. Yeah, you have like stitches, some mothers, right. Some have tears, you know, they are like really, really traumatized. So, yeah, we focus on slowly making them to understand and connect. Yeah, just by thinking, feeling that you're connecting also might work some muscle.
Mm.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it takes a while for you to really feel them. So don't be in a rush if you're a new mother. Take your time and okay. relax and do deep breathing. It calms down everything.
It's been 19 years. I still don't know if I'm working my pelvic floor muscle.
Come in for Pilates.
I need to think of the jellyfish
you
know, now.
You don't need to be pregnant to go for Pilates.
No, you don't. Yeah. Absolutely
yes,
not.
Yes, yeah. Because pelvic floor consists of multiple layers of muscle. Doctor, right?
Yeah.
Multiple. So many layers and layers. So to be specifically tell you that, do you feel this? It's really hard. It's not like bicep.
Yeah.
It's not like tricep or your calf muscle. It's inside. It's working deep inside you.
Yeah, because so that's why the workout is not fun. Because you don't, you know, you work your biceps and then it looks good.
This
is functional.
Yeah.
So incorrect. It's functional unless you have a problem, okay, whether you've got a vesicocele seal or something, then you actually notice that working out the pelvic floor is important. It's not like other parts of the core.
So why the emphasis on the pelvic floor is because of what? You want to prevent urinary incontinence? What else?
That's one of it. It's really important. Also, you have to look at pregnant women that have diatitis recti. There's a split on their rectus. I do come across a lot of women, they don't even know that their rectus abdominis have split and could fit a tennis ball. It goes in. They call it mummy tummy. It's like it's split.
Okay, can you explain that to me?
So it's like an internal hernia. So that split and the envelope that holds you in position is no longer functioning correctly because it's all part of the core. So the core is not only the barrel around you, it's also the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, and you need to work on that, and Pilates can actually help you deal with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't deal with it, your lower back pain will come in, your sciatica will come in. There's a lot of other issues. Women must know that, you know, you need to look after yourself after birthing.
Mm.
It is a traumatic experience.
Do you see patients like that postpartum who come in because of this problem?
Yes, I do. Because
it will present as sciatica and
yeah,
back
my
pain.
My practice is beside busy obstetricians. So a lot of them come predominantly with back issues and problems.
After
pregnancy. And more often than not, if it was a cesarean section, they think it's the epidural. Then I need to spend time and tell them it's not that and go through the whole story. Fortunately, where I work, we have pre-delivery classes which work on the pelvic floor. They use a ball to help balance. And then there are exercises that they do even before delivery to strengthen up the pelvic floor.
Okay.
So there's a lot of preventive work. But the idea, what I understand from that is that education is key. Everyone will attribute it to a certain particular event, obvious cause. Mm-hmm. I had a spinal, therefore my back's painful. When it's not actually that. There's so much more to it.
Okay. It's great awareness because I had no idea about all of this when I was having my children. So it's great.
Yeah, times change.
It absolutely has.
Yes.
I mean, 19 years ago.
Yes.
I really wasn't educated about all
of
this.
Yeah, me too. My first child, my eldest daughter is 20 years old now. I have no idea about all this.
Yeah.
Like epidural, I have severe back problem after that. But with my, at age of 40, I have my younger son. I have no problem, no backache, nothing. I don't know, maybe the credit should go to Pilates. I'm not sure.
Okay. But she said epidural again, you know.
Credit has to go to your doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Same gynae.
He improved over 20 years.
Yeah, same doctor. Yeah,
but it's
good.
Funny, you said epidural and you had bags. And again, Teresa thinks it was the epidural.
No.
But
easily for us to just blame epidural,
correct.
Right?
But does epidural cause back pain at all?
I mean, if you look at the literature, it'll say no.
Yeah,
okay. So
now that I agree with him, because after I know Pilates, it's not.
You understand it much
yeah,
better.
Yeah, I understand much
20
better.
20 years later.
Yeah, 20 years later.
Pilates and pregnancy is our topic. We're going to come back after this very quickly and finish up this session. But if you have a question, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. Tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon. If you have just joined us, it is our Health and Living segment. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, in the studio for his monthly show. Today we're discussing Pilates and pregnancy. Also with us, Desira Sim. She is a Pilates instructor and certified in pre- and postnatal Pilates. I think we've had an interesting discussion about pelvic floor, about your center of gravity, back pain, what's coming through, carpal tunnel syndrome, you know, the works really. pelvic floor being the center of the discussion most of the time. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. Tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We haven't said much about the center of gravity, Dr. Harjit. How does that affect mum when she's pregnant?
Okay. Let's look at it in a non-pregnant person. Okay, you have the spine curved. At the lower back, it's curved forward a particular degree. And we know that you have, between the spinal column, you actually have your disc, the intervertebral disc, and that's much thicker on the front of the disc. The point of gravity is traveling on the front, the front third of the disc, so to speak. Now, in pregnancy, there is an exaggeration of that curve, shifting the center of gravity forward. Now, when that happens, it's no longer in line. That's why you tend to see that pregnant women tend to walk with a waddle just to keep their center of gravity. And that changes the way the body is loaded on all the joints. So you start getting pain.
Sure. And how does high heels contribute to this problem?
Now,
but we need to look pretty, you know.
Yeah.
And taller.
I know.
And, you know.
I know. Men don't they don't have that. Okay, now the thing is yeah, that's why I just went back. Now all my patients who you know, they come in with sometimes knee pain and back pain, and I say, okay, you can have, never once has someone told me that that those heels were too high. They say, no, it's just a little. I said, 3 inches, that's quite a lot. And they tell me that it gives them a quiet confidence. So I never argue. I just tell them that it exaggerates the curve. So you tend to get worsening back pain, and additionally you get pain at your knees. So most times we try to compensate by, you know, getting some therapy done so that they strengthen out, or we come to a compromise that 3 inches become one. And as they get better and they get more comfortable, I mean, then they just follow the path of
truth. Going back. No choice lah.
But they never sell the heels. I mean, they never throw them away. They never give them.
No,
they
do that.
Yeah, no. There is a point in the future that they want to go back to that. And they also make positive decisions about their health. So they get stronger, they lose weight, and maybe there is a middle ground and they get back somehow.
Okay, but I know orthopedic surgeons are very against high heels, generally. No.
Okay, generally.
Yeah. And you have good reasons for it. If we still want to go ahead and wear it, then that's really our business, isn't it? How do you help them with, you know, the center of gravity moving and some of the issues that come along with that?
I do agree with Dr. Harjit. High heels is
a no-no.
Yeah, especially when you're pregnant. It creates instability as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always tell them you might fall down and, you know, you wait until you deliver your baby, then you can go back to your high heels. Most of the time, they listen.
Yeah,
they listen. If you can take them off the high heels, half your battle is won.
That bad, huh?
That bad.
Okay.
And she's the first one who agrees that high
She understands what's happening.
Yeah.
So now it's the guys don't communicate well enough.
Yes. No, okay, because you haven't experienced it, so
true.
You have no authority to say.
Okay. Point noted.
Okay.
Any other issues that you feel pregnant mothers should take into consideration, and as well as postpartum?
Yeah, I think we need to understand that pregnancy essentially is a physiological process. There are changes in the body that's going to give you a bit of a problem. It's good to continue exercising, but it's also important to be mindful that if you are very, very athletic and exercise a lot and you keep that intensity even during the pregnancy process, it's not also going to be very good. So there has to be a middle ground. If you have never started before, then you keep it slow. If you are too high-end, then you also need to tail down a bit.
Okay. Doresa?
Agree. Completely agree with
you. And some of the common issues that you face, and, you know, what would you like to tell women about, you know, pregnancy, some of the issues, as well as postpartum? How does that differ in terms of your classes and what you concentrate on?
You mean during... For pregnant women?
During pregnancy, what's the focus? And then postpartum, what do you focus on?
During pregnancy, we do not try to strengthen the pelvic floor too much, yeah? Because in the end of the day, the pelvic floor is, have to do the show, and, you know, if you're talking about natural birth, they need to be flexible. The release, after all, is a release. If you work them too hard, they can't dilate, they can't release. Yeah. It's too tight,
right? You can't fight it.
Yeah, you have to let the baby come out, yeah? And for postnatal, it's another approach that we will talk about. We will tell them to tighten more, you know, lift up more, feel your abs more, connect more. And we also talk about habitual, you know, to work on the alignment, the habitual pattern, how to carry for postnatal, carry the baby.
And all of that coming together.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Hajit, your advice when it comes to, you know, postpartum and going back to bad habits once all over again, sitting, for an example, the new smoking.
I think that once you get the benefits of exercise, working out, and how it changes your mind as much as it does your body, the chances of going completely rogue and going back to
bad habits
and unhealthy lifestyle, it's probably lessened. So the idea is education is key, and get someone who inspires you to go into this in a correct way and safe way, and it's going to be fine.
Okay, so get going, get moving is what you're saying.
Yeah, find a certified Pilates teacher or certified yoga teacher and get moving, start working out in a safe environment. Yeah.
It's always key.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the key.
Thank you both very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Dr.
Hajit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Doresa Sim, a Pilates instructor who's certified in pre- and postnatal Pilates, discussing Pilates and pregnancy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.